I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Can I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. This is a special called meeting to review the zoning request for Maple Street Multifamily SELP, a.k.a. Trammell Crow, at 2780 East College Avenue, 2748 East College Avenue, 142 Maple Street, and 134 Maple Street. So the applicant has requested a change in zoning classification from a CBD Area 3 to a PD, or a planned development that would override the existing controls of the zoning ordinance. According to the PD ordinance, we are required to look at the request being made and make our determination on, quote, how consistently the proposed project meets the goals of the downtown master plan and the development controls established within the zoning ordinance for the CBD. The zoning ordinance, of course, was written in 2014, a few years after the zoning ordinance, so there's going to be a disconnect between these documents that must be reasoned through. And keep in mind the downtown master plan is a concept document that illuminates possibilities for the transformation downtown, and it's subjective and open to interpretation. So I believe we have a couple of exhibits that need to be shown that we're missing from the documents online.
Yep, that's right. We're just going to pull up real quick. Yes. Sorry about that. So instead of going through the full presentation again, since we did that
a couple weeks ago,
we just wanted to go through two things that we've changed based on public comment. And Jessica's going to kind of walk us through those real quick.
Do you need this?
Oh, yeah, actually, so everybody can hear, that'd be great. Good evening. My name is Jessica Hill. I am counsel for the applicant. And the site plans and elevations that are provided online are the ones that are currently on file. But based on some of the community feedback that we've received at the various meetings, there are two changes that we want to make that we're going to highlight this evening. And they have to do with really the streetscapes along the front and the rear of the project. First, along East College, we've had several questions about what is the streetscape going to be. Is it consistent with what's across the street? How are you consistent with the master plan? Well, the master plan calls for, and I'm going to actually pull out the page for it. The master plan calls for a 7-foot sidewalk and an 8-foot landscape zone. Across the street at South City, they have a little bit of a wider landscape zone and a 10-foot sidewalk. What we are proposing to do, and we would ask the Planning Commission to incorporate this into any recommendation, would be that we have a streetscape consistent with what we're showing you here tonight, which is a minimum of a 10-foot walk zone, so that's wider than what the master plan calls for. And then our landscape zone, which you can see starts here, would be a minimum of 8 feet wide. That would provide for the entry area here, entry area here. Our building is set back at least 22 feet from the curb. So that is consistent with, if not greater than, what South City has across the street. So dimensionally, again, what we're looking at is a 10-foot minimum sidewalk, the 8-foot minimum landscape zone, and then a 22-foot dimension to the building from the street. So we think that is in keeping with what's across the street and is advancing the master plan and actually greening the master plan's recommendations. The second thing that we have done is there's been a lot of discussion about the publicly accessible road at the rear. And right now we're showing it as just kind of a blank area, but we are including it as a dimension to be at least 50 feet wide. So it'll be 50 feet from the property line at the north to the face of building. There'll be at least 50 feet there. There will be two-way travel lanes, and there will be streetscape of some sort. And there's, I think, some discussion to be had about what an appropriate streetscape would be in there. Right now the master plan calls for on-street parking. It calls for a certain width of sidewalk and landscape zone. We can certainly accommodate that, but there may be an alternative that's preferable. So that's something, you know, we would like to have discussions about and obviously finalize before any recommendation is ultimately made. But we are accommodating a 50-foot minimum dimension. All right. I think that will conclude our presentation for now. We'll open up the discussion. We also would ask, I think maybe there was a comment made about this. I know at the typical meetings we've presented and there's been opportunity for public comment, and we've not, the developer has not had a chance to comment or respond to any of the commentary. So to the extent it's appropriate for the board based on the comments, we would appreciate an opportunity to speak at the end of the comments if there's anything that we need to address, if you could take a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Can I just ask you a question about what you just proposed? So when you put increase the landscape zone and the sidewalk, did you just decrease the courtyard area then? You didn't shift the building back at all, right?
The buildings stay the same place. It's the landscape strips that are in the way here. These landscape strips are smaller, and this courtyard here is shrunken to allow a wider sidewalk.
Okay. Okay, we're going to discuss the project up here, and then we'll put it out for public comment, and then we'll bring it back to the table. So, and who would like to start here?
I'll be happy to start. Thank you, Martha. Following this development for these many months, I've been impressed by the developer's willingness to work with the city and make adjustments. I'm also impressed by the fact that I think the annexation to Sam's Crossing is working when it attracts this kind of private capital investment. So I'm generally pro and would like to find a way to yes. I think when you can attract $64 million in private capital to a block that's in the shape that one is in, It's very positive, but I'd like to pass the microphone to whoever would like to speak next.
I'll go next.
If anybody.
Well, I talk about density and a few other things related to density. Density, as it relates to the Trammell Crow project, is more than a sterile inventory of people occupying a specific tract of land or volume of a building. Rather, density is the product of a synergistic interaction of the forces such as lifestyle, employment, opportunity and choice, changes in the workforce, economic factors such as housing, cost and availability, as well as shopping style, government action, and modes of transportation. Metro Atlanta has a population of approximately 5.7 million people, with growth projected to 6 million in 3 to 5 years. At the present time, Metro Atlanta is one of the hottest job markets in the country, with a significant portion of those opportunities occurring inside the perimeter. Avondale Estates is strategically located to capitalize on this phenomenon. People entering the job market or relocating to take advantage of these opportunities tend to be from the younger generation, a younger portion of the working population. They generally reject early home ownership because of the current land economy. A term coined by a fellow PZB member, makes home ownership a financial burden they are not willing to assume. That, coupled with the hangover effect of the 2005-2008 real estate bubble burst and the attendant commute accompanying home ownership, results in this demographic opting to rent an apartment with reasonable access to public transportation. This is exemplified by the South City Partners Project and is amplified by the Trammell Crow project as it has been presented. Coincidentally, automobile ownership among this demographic does not have the appeal or necessity by those who went before them. Bicycling, Uber, Lyft, and MARTA are choices preferred by many to car ownership. The Amazon effect on retail and the burgeoning home delivery industry is further testament to more transportation modes to choose from and an accompanying shift in shopping style. The corporate world is beginning to realize this and adjust their business models accordingly. The most telling example is the recent announcement by Ford Motor Company to eliminate passenger car production for the United States market by the model years 2019 and 2020. Yes, Ford Motor Company, the company that put America on wheels in the early 20th century, plans to cease production of cars except for the Mustang. Fiat Chrysler gave serious consideration to a similar move, but decided on model reduction in lieu of elimination. The culmination of these forces is exemplified in the development surrounding Avondale Estates. To illustrate this, take a compass and scribe a 7-mile radius centered on our city hall to where the radius intersects I-285 at points northeast and southeast of city hall. In other words, inside the perimeter. Most, if not all, of the major developments in this area, which were built since the recession ended, are very similar to the South City Partners project and their proposed Trammell Crow project. Most are bigger. I attended most of the update meetings and all of the recent comprehensive plan update meetings for the master plan. Reflecting back on those meetings, all of the discussion was around what we wanted, with no discussion of funding sources or input from potential developers and or builders as to the feasibility of achieving those ends. The closest approximation to meaningful input from the financial or development communities occurred during a forum held at the community center prior to the 2015 elections. One of our citizens asked the developer why he wasn't developing at Avondale Estates, and his response was that he only developed around MARTA stations, or words to that effect. The financial rep stated that development was hindered in Avondale Estates because of a wrongful but lingering perception that we are a closed community behind the hedges and reluctant to change. Admittedly, the Trammell Crow project does not conform to central business district zoning, with two major issues being building size and density. The Trammell Crow project does reflect the developmental reality surrounding Avondale Estates and demonstrates that government cannot keep pace with the impact of the land economy. The Trammell Crow project gives Avondale Estates an opportunity not only to capitalize on the job growth occurring in Metro Atlanta, but to benefit from the existence and impact of the other forces which result in density, as discussed earlier. I support the draft development agreement for the Trammell Crow project as depicted in Exhibit B, the cover sheet ARC-01, and the publicly accessible roadway with a pedestrian streetscape, the road as it's referred to, along the northern portion of the overall property. I do not support the public park development provided for in paragraph 10B and 10C in the draft development agreement. It is difficult to envision the public park as a natural extension of the original Trammell Crow residential development proposal. The easternmost boundary of the original proposal is approximately 0.35 miles from the westernmost boundary of the city-owned 4 acres. The original development site is in CBD Area 3 and does not have connectivity to the city-owned 4 acres located in Subarea 1 other than College Avenue, North Avondale Road, US 278. The development of the public park discussed in paragraphs 10B and 10C in the draft development agreement does not align with Section 1115, Central Business District Plan Development Zone, of the Zoning Ordinance. Section 1115.04, entitled Variances, reads in part, "Applicant shall not be required to separately obtain variance from the Board of Appeals," end of quote. Because the city owns the property, and the property lies within CBD Area Subarea 1, in which parks are a conditional use, the need for a variance is eliminated. Minimizing the number of variance requests for a specific development was a major theme of the ordinance. The benefit to the city from the proposed improvements to the park property, as presented in Section 4, titled Benefits of On- and Off-Site Infrastructure and Public Improvements, pages 13 to 17, of the economic impact analysis are highly speculative and, in the words of the author, difficult to quantify. In my opinion, if the draft development agreement is executed, the city becomes vulnerable to some negative optics that would be difficult to counter. If the improvements to the park property are executed as proposed, like it or not, the de facto price of the development agreement is $150,000. A skeptic could argue that the development agreement was used to leverage highly desirable improvements to the park property from the developer without incurring financial liability for the city. Because of the foregoing and in light of the fact that there is not a pressing need for park property improvements, paragraphs 10B and 10C and all other references to park property should be deleted from the draft development agreement.
I've got a lot of positive things to say about the project. I may be one of the ones that likes the look of it from when it was first presented to it. I like the way it's presented. And I like Trammell Crow. Marianne and I have been in the real estate business a lot of years. We don't tell everybody how long, but we go back long enough, probably back to the start of Trammell Crow. And most of the stuff that we have seen, not everything, but most of the stuff we have seen has been quality product. And I like what they generally do. And they got a good reputation. Their product's good, their presentation's good, and it's a little bit more upscale than other things that we see. Both the Bleakley report, that's part of what you got this week when you looked online, you saw the Bleakley report and the economic impact growth report, they indicate positive magnetism from the development, that putting this kind of a development, putting people here, will bring more businesses. And I know what John just read, that businesses, as we know them, are going to change. And I know that probably is true. But it's going to, we need businesses to make this a reason to walk through downtown. And I'm okay with the abatement, the tax abatement. You probably are not. But we're given $900,000 over 10 years, and we get about $1.6 million in that same 10 years. And when you add on to that, it's something that I can live with. If I was part of what was granting that at the time it was granted, I might have made it a little bit less, because I don't think we need to give that much to get that much. And I truly want to support our downtown businesses. They do so much for us. And we need to do something for them to bring people downtown to use their businesses. Short of taking our central business district and putting in an open, non-odor-controlled sewage treatment center, not much what happens there is going to affect the value of our houses on this side of the hedge. Probably not much. Our business owners are in a little bit different situation. They knew it going into it, but they may have even pledged their properties. And so I'd like to support them some way. However, all of that said, however, this was touted as a mixed-use plan. And having 5,000 square feet of restaurant is not a mixed use. I think it's something to say that we've got mixed use. I would really rather see it be something like 20% or more mixed use. So I think for that reason, I don't like it. I don't like that it's totally enclosed the way it's designed. I know folks aren't going to be as neighborly as they have been in the past, and I don't know if they're real neighborly in apartment complexes. I know when we were in an apartment, we were pretty neighborly. I don't know how the new generation sees all of that. But it's a glop of apartments, and it is an apartment complex with a restaurant. It's totally self-enclosed, and that part I don't like. The other is that it's so far askew from what's laying underneath, and that I'm talking about zoning. When I read, and this is part of what Martha read just a moment ago, under the intention of the PD development, planned use development, it says, when considering an application for PD overlay zoning, the Board of American Commissioners shall consider the extent to which the proposed development is consistent with the development proposals, the development things that we already have in place. And what we have in place is 40 units per acre for apartments. This is coming in at 75, which is incredibly higher than what was originally intended. That part can be, I think, can be overridden. But the second part of it is the Board of Merit Commissioners should consider whether the proposed development will continue or contribute towards development of the Central Business District. And it probably does, but it has a little hook at the end. It says consistent with the intent of the master plan update dated in 2014, which means the walkable, bikeable, parkable, that kind of a thing. And I think it fails that. So I'm having heartburn. And poor Marianne has had to suffer with me for these past weeks and going back and forth on this situation. So I'm going to vote against it tonight. And it is for those reasons. But here's what I really would prefer. I don't want to lose Trammell Crow. And I want to somehow keep them at the table. And I don't know what it's going to take. I know what it would take from me would have to match the density of South City Partners. And I can live with that, and I know some of you can't, but it is 50-plus units per acre instead of being 40. But it sure is a lot more appetizing to me than 75. So I'd like to see if Trammell Crow can live with that some way. And I've got a couple of other ideas, and you guys can throw these out the window, because I am not an architect, not a designer, but I've got an idea on how to improve that front. And so I'll pass it along since I've got the microphone. Where we've got the restaurants, which, as you know, you're looking at is the far left-hand side, and we've got the gymnasium is the right-hand side, which is not for our use, but for the occupants' use. I'd like to see all of College Avenue exposure be commercial. And I'd like to see it 1:1 or 2:1, meaning one apartment or two apartments over what is the commercial area. And behind that, since this zoning density creates more space now for the apartments that won't be there, I'd like to see a space behind the apartments, 15 or 20-foot lane, a walkable lane. So now I'm visualizing, throw this out, guys, when you're all done, but I'm visualizing that all this commercial that's along the front is double-sided. So it's available to the people who are on College and to that walkable lane that's right behind it. Now, here's an idea. Over all of this, since it is now detached from the apartment area, these could be condominiums, and they could be owners paying taxes. Those are crazy ideas, and you can throw the last few out that I've had, but it is an idea. So that's where I stand at this point, and I stand to be changed again if I hear some compelling argument.
Thanks, sir. So I've been talking with people on both sides of the hedge, business owners, developers, people with vested interests as well as homeowners. And ultimately, I think the project is, you know, a very well thought out project. The density doesn't scare me. I think they've done a great job addressing all of our issues with the street. Could definitely see a lot more mixed use in there. At the end of the day, I kind of concur with Joe that I don't really see much else use for the greater part of this land outside of what they're adding and developing and putting in there. I guess the real issues I have with the project are hearing from the residents. It's more of quality of life and for the people who live here. And it does upset the balance significantly with, about 9-10% more residents coming into the neighborhood, 17% more residential units coming into the neighborhood. I personally, as I'm driving around town, I see these developments popping up. Emory, Chamblee, I worked up in Chamblee for a while. And then all the way from downtown Decatur to here, I avoid these areas. I'm now cutting through people's neighborhoods trying to bypass them for not only aesthetics but for traffic reasons. We're talking about getting a road diet here of restricting our traffic even more. We don't even know what's going to happen with the current developments and what's happening through there. So, yes, I'm bothered quite a bit by 280 more units. We've got a villa coming up, which is, you know, they can pretty much get what they want without variances if they try hard enough. We've got those units. We've got the stuff happening around Kensington Mara Station that's going to affect our traffic, our quality of life, and all of a sudden our little island that has been kind of pleasurable to get in and around of, the balance is kind of being upset. So I'm not really certain that density is going to help the proposed density, getting it back down to what's something that's in line with second century Avondale, even in line with our zoning ordinance, is going to help. But I'm definitely hearing from a lot of people that, you know, this balance is being upset, and I think I have to support the majority of the people that are in this neighborhood versus the few that are on the side of the hedge.
Is the microphone working?
Could you not hear us?
Sorry, I'm having vocal issues.
So can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I reviewed the zoning ordinance and the downtown master plan with a view to reconciling the disparities between these and the proposed project. So comparing it to the zoning ordinance was really straightforward. In terms of density, massing, and height, the proposed development far exceeds those that are in the zoning ordinance. As people have said, we're going from 40 units up to almost 75 units per acre, and the massing is significantly enlarged, with the zoning ordinance recommending a 30,000 square foot footprint and going up to approximately 101,000 square feet. So it's about a 240% increase. And the height at 4 to 5 stories exceeds the 36-foot limit, going up to about 70 feet. And there's a provision within the ordinance for an open space height bonus that's granted when additional green space is provided on the parcel or deeded to the city. But as proposed, the project is only going to grasp land currently owned by the city that we've already designated for a park. When I compared the goals of the downtown master plan, it was more subjective, and it required looking at how the project adapts to that particular site. So I asked, does the development foster the small town feel that's advocated for? Do the benefits of the development contribute to the public realm to the degree that they override substantial increases in density, massing, and height? Modifications have been made to the initial plan with the development of the courtyard in the front, the insertion of the road at the north, and the grassing the city-owned property. However, there is a lack, I feel, of sufficient retail space across the entire facade to draw and engage the public. The blank wall of the workout facility does not attract the passerby. And I feel the pedestrian amenities are minimal, and I guess there have been some changes that the landscape buffer is going to be enlarged, and perhaps with trees, but in previous plans, all the amenities were focused around the development itself. So as currently drawn, I have several reservations regarding the project. There are too many extreme deviations from the zoning ordinance that are not ameliorated by addressing the strategic goals of the downtown master plan that was developed with the principles of placemaking in mind, which strives to identify and locate well-balanced elements at the appropriate scale with quality design. So rather than stepping down in scale as a project moves to the east in the heart of downtown, the development proposed is considerably larger than that of South City, the westernmost property that serves as the entrance to our city, and should, in my mind, be the largest. A reasoning also behind the removal of the residential cap last year was that the CBD needs more residents to support businesses and create a vibrant downtown. However, with a large increase in units here, we are well exceeding the controls that are 40 units per acre that guided our decision last year to remove the cap. Therefore, due to the location, the lack of a robust streetscape and open space designs, and the amount and type of retail proposed, I feel the components of the development make it an insular community. Ultimately, it doesn't seek to create a cohesive pedestrian-oriented retail environment that would create a downtown that functions as a unified whole rather than a collection of parts. So I cannot support the project as drawn, but as Joe was saying, I would love to find a way to keep Trammell Crow engaged and bring it down to a scale that seems to fit more in keeping with what our aims are for the city. So I will open it to the public for comment.
Gladys Dedman, 3118 Majestic Circle. First of all, I'd like to thank you all. I know you've got a difficult task in front of you, and we really appreciate all the work you've done on this and many other things for our city. I'm going to read something I prepared because I usually get up here and tend to forget my points. But I believe that the vast majority of people in this town and the members of this board want to see development. They want to see our city grow and prosper. It's really not a question of developing or not developing. It's a question of achieving development that enhances the quality of our downtown and the financial stability of our future. I believe this project, as currently proposed, will have long-lasting effects on our community and not necessarily in a positive way. Development should not be for development's sake, but should be a result of thoughtful, organized process that accomplishes the goals set forth in our zoning laws and master plan. Both these documents involve the input from many stakeholders in this community and reflect our shared vision. Our laws and vision should not be negated by a few individuals who think they know what's best for our city, which to me was exhibited in the development agreement provided to you on August 3rd. I worked recently with a group of six individuals who have been coming to meetings and carefully reviewed documents involved in this application. The result was a letter submitted to y'all yesterday, which I hope you all had time to read. This letter references the city staff report, where 29 items were compared to our zoning laws. This project dramatically fails to meet our zoning standards in numerous areas, and even far exceeds the significant variances granted for South City Partners project. The South City project was intended to be the maximum. At least, maybe not everybody thought so, but I've heard from this board, the HPC, and others that they expected that to be the maximum structure in our downtown. This project is actually doing the opposite, is by exceeding and going higher instead of going down like is expected in our master plan. And I think that can also lead to future legal problems due to precedent. The letter we sent also references an analysis provided by Second Century Avondale, a group that includes a number of urban and planning professionals who gave this project a grade of D. Is this what we really want for Avondale? I know that y'all's purview is zoning. However, I've also heard comments that went far outside that realm. So I imagine that obviously the financial impact is one of those factors that you think is important in considering this project. When reviewing the economic study provided by the developer of Trammell Crow, it became apparent that they provided misleading and insufficient information. They compared the Avondale 10-year tax credit to a 20-year revenue stream. They left out over $3 million in tax abatement they were receiving from the county and the BOE. They provided a revenue number for the city that could not be verified by the data within the document. And another thing that's interesting is they showed that they'll be getting a net operating income of approximately $38 million, yet they're still asking for a $4 million tax abatement. That will increase their net operating income by 10%, over 10%. They also, their projections are based on nothing else happening, and I just don't think that's the case. Another thing is, I know y'all aren't elected officials, and public opinion is probably not a factor, but I think public opinion is a reflection of the many over the few. And we had a a petition that was circulated around the community, and over 453 registered voters signed the petition, which included 11 out of 12 former mayor and commissioners that still live in the city. And people are still signing. This is more voters than it took to elect four of the current members of the Board of Mayor and Commissioners. I respectfully request that you deny the application submitted by TCR that we can move towards a plan that respects our zoning and master plan. Thank you.
If I could make one comment, please. As we are the Planning and Zoning Board, we really cannot analyze the financial impacts of the project. So while they have been brought up, that's really not our purview, and they're not relevant to our discussion at this time. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Erica Brown. I'm 7 Berkeley Road, proud resident of Avondale Estates, 30002. My day job is as a realtor, which I have been for 21 years now. And I would like to speak to some of the assumptions that I have, or reasons that I've heard to view this project favorably. I would respectfully disagree with the comments regarding today's buyers and what they're looking for, because I have them in my car every day and have for years. I know what buyers are looking for. They do have cars. They want green space, and they want less dense areas, some of them. The other thing I would say is I have heard support of this project as people supporting this project because it has more people living here who would support the downtown businesses. My company has a commercial division, and I had them pull an ESRI report, which is a retail marketplace profile. It measures the demand of retail and services versus the supply of retail and services, and this is for our zip code. And of the 40 areas that they measure, 40 segments, I should say, we only have an overabundance in 6 of those. Every other area shows a retail gap, which means we need those services and or retail. Regardless of where you think Amazon is going, we still go to places and buy things when we need them. Although I am pleased to let you know, we do have enough beer, wine, and liquor stores, and we have enough used merchandise stores. We're good there. Everywhere else we need. I've also heard that the lack of a development, you know, is for this reason or that reason. I would say the lack of development has more to do with the ownership of this land, the fact that the land's not being actively marketed, that the owner's somewhat inflexible, but at the end of the day, the land could be used as it is currently zoned and does not have to be rezoned for it to be used. And I heard a statement that nothing that happens up there is going to affect our land values back here behind the hedges, and I would respectfully disagree with that as well. An increase in traffic could make your property values go down if people can't get here. You know, they're not going to want to live here. If there was the retail and services that we needed, it could make your property values go up without a more dense place to live. So I would disagree with that. If the businesses are not thriving, and this is kind of a hard truth to say, but it's because they're not selling what people want. Maybe they need to refine their product mix and what they're offering. Basically, this is a multifamily development. It's not any kind of a commercial development. It's not even a planned development. It's an apartment complex that's spooning the liquor store. And the developer should apply for a zoning that matches what is being built. So I would ask that you respectfully deny this. Thank you.
D. Miriam, 8 Lakeview Place, and I've spent my whole career working on public realm, on parks and recreation and walkability. The last 10 years I was at the CDC working with the American Planning Association on policies with the Smart Growth Group on how to set up zoning and design policies in such a way that it encouraged walkability. There are four D's that we talk about in walkability. We do talk about density. You do need to have people. We talk about distance. How far you have to walk is one of the biggest predictors. People will walk 10 minutes, but they'll get in the car to drive if they have to walk more than 20. So those kinds of things are really important. Block size really impacts the distance that you have to walk and the number of destinations that you pass when you're taking that walk. The design of the street, whether it has places to sit, whether it has shade, is really important for walkability. And most important, and also critically important for walkability, is having destinations, interesting places to stop and go to. That's why our zoning required non-residential uses on the street fronts. And that's one of the things that I think is a major failing of this project. I think the scale of it is too big. It makes the block too big. But it also, by limiting any type of non-residential use just to College Street, deadens the rest of the area. So we need businesses. The more businesses generate more businesses. And I gave a talk to the Downtown Business Association, I think last fall, where we talked about the need for feet on the street. And again, feet on the street isn't just about density. It's about the other three D's, too. And I think Avondale has an opportunity that's unique in the Atlanta area, in that we've got a lot of density happening all around us. And if we are that unique place that's special, that's different, that has those comfortable sidewalks, the street trees, the benches, and most importantly, those businesses fronting the street and those services fronting the street, I think that makes us unique and special and does the most for the rest of the businesses in our downtown. Thank you. Please deny.
Mike Herzog, 921 Nottingham Drive. I just have a small exception with something that was said about the complaint about businesses not thriving. I don't think anybody's concerned that the businesses aren't thriving right now. Some of them are doing really well, actually. But they could do so much better with a few more folks around. It's always nice. I'm not going to get into any of the design or whether it fits zoning and all of that kind of stuff. But my only comment is that we are at a very, very interesting time in the economy right now. And we have a great company here in front of us that is bending over backwards to work with us in any which way that they can. And I think that we do risk losing an opportunity. We've been in situations before where you bat it back and forth, and eventually people just walk. The economy changes. So just be aware of that. That's all I'm asking. The other part of that is that slightly over 400 people is by no means the majority of this neighborhood. Thank you.
Hey guys, now Nick Purdy, 42 Clarendon Avenue, on the other side of the hedge, in addition to being a business owner in the neighborhood. I really want to echo most everything Mike said. I was really thinking a lot of the same things, so I'll just echo it. It's kind of awkward to have this conversation while Trammell Crowe's sitting here right in the room with us. I feel like we might be able to be a little more honest with each other on certain points. Like, I agree with you, Joe. Maybe there's a couple ideas that could improve the project. At the same time, you know, what does it take to keep the negotiation going? I'm not aware of what that is. I'd love it to be a project that we can all be proud of and happy of and actually bring the neighborhood together rather than dividing the neighborhood like it has. So I don't know what that pathway is, but I do agree with Mike. We're at a very critical moment, and we may need to be very considerate of the risks of dragging this out too far or just walking away. Avondale's reputation is not a positive one. It simply is not. And this will seal that in a long-term way. There's no one that thinks of this as a happy little place to come walk the sidewalks. And saying no to this, I don't think is going to get us there either. People do recognize that our neighborhood's unique. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. We all love living here and being a part of it. But there's been some long simmering frustrations among a lot of people that we're just going to stay stuck kind of where we've been. We built our business a little over 4 years ago in the downtown area, and aside from the one development that's been built, there's very, very little that's happened. A few other small businesses have popped up, which we're very happy about, but the pace at which our little community has moved forward has been disheartening. So I hope you will find a way to say yes one way or the other.
Marty Schindler, 48 Clarendon. With due respect, my dear neighbor, Nick, who's Izzy and Lottie are good friends. They're our dogs. If I heard you correctly, you said nobody likes living here. Is that what you said?
No.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
You said the reputation.
Oh, the reputation is not positive. Thank you. I'd be interested in knowing who you asked it, or where you get that information. I do have a really naive question for Trammell Crowe, and that is, why did you increase your project almost double? You understand what I'm saying? The density was, Lida, what were the facts on that again?
On what?
Density.
Yeah, from 40, what was it, 40?
40 to 75 almost, 74.8.
Right.
40 to 75.
Right, from 40 to 75.
Why would you do that?
So the density proposed is 286 units, which is 72.68 units an acre. South City's density was 202 units, and they are... After their park dedication, they're 77.39 units per acre. They were 3.18 acres to start, and then they dedicated the park. If you take the park out, they're at 77 units an acre. With the park, they're at 63.5 units an acre. That's what the development agreement provides for. As far as the number of units, I mean, the density that is proposed here is what has always been proposed from a density perspective.
Thanks, Gary. David Sachs, 89 Dartmouth. Having been through a hearing last night on this project, I want to empathize with you guys and thank you for, because I know you're working very, very hard on this. Joe, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there are definitely benefits to this project that everyone is aware of. However, I do think that ultimately those same benefits, pretty much to the same order of magnitude, could be realized by a project that is closer to the zoning and to the vision that's in the downtown master plan. I think, you know, unless you really believe that turning down this particular design means that that property will stay vacant for 20 years, which personally I don't think is a reasonable assumption, but unless you believe that, then there really is no good reason in my mind to approve the design as it is because of those benefits that it will bring, because all of those benefits can be realized by a project that is closer to the zoning and to the downtown master plan with none of the downsides that many people have pointed out. We've had attorneys in town who've expressed concern about the precedent of approving a project that is so far off of what the current regulations require that it would make it very difficult to force future developers to come in anywhere close to those regulations. We had, Dee mentioned the kind of the quality of walkability or lack thereof on the streets. I think this team has done, this design team has done a very good job of making the College Avenue streetscape a good walkable street in line with the downtown master plan vision. But the other two sides of the project are really lacking. On Hillier, you've got a sidewalk that is in places 5 feet wide, parking on one side, and on the other is a concrete retaining wall for a service ramp or an ADA ramp up to the building. No retail, no destinations. On the backside, you're walking past a parking deck. There's no on-street parking, there's no retail, there's no destinations. So those are not really pedestrian-friendly streets as envisioned in our plans. The last thing I want to say is in defense of the master plan and the comp plan, I guess I would respectfully disagree with Mr. Palmberg, with whom I co-attended many of those same meetings. You made the comment that all of those meetings were about what we wanted as a community and did not consider things like funding and markets and all of that. I would disagree with that. The master plan was done by a team of professionals that was paid a lot of money. It was a process that was prescribed by the Atlanta Regional Commission that paid for 80% of those funds. There were planners, there were traffic engineers, there was a market and economic consultant who did a marketing study. And the comp plan had a similar level of professionalism to it. The previous versions of those documents done in 2004 and 2007 had similar levels of professionalism to them. And they all pointed out, from an economic standpoint, how valuable sense of place is and the uniqueness that we have in Avondale. And that's what fed into the vision of trying to make a downtown that's different than what's around us. I think your characterization of the market forces is largely accurate, and you said that the illustration of that is all around us in all the development that's happening in Decatur and DeKalb, and I think that points up exactly the reason why that's not exactly the same thing that we should be building here in Avondale. So. I do hope that this design team, which is very talented, and this developer will stay involved, and I'd like to see the city work with them to get to a project that's closer to our policies and our vision. And that's how you move forward, is by being consistent. So anyway, thank you.
Klaus Vandenberg, 3243 Wilshire. I just want to applaud the board for giving the PDA a reading and pointing out some of the critical parts of this. And I think a big part of this process is to vote no on this particular PDA, to come to a yes. Some of you have pointed out things. Some of the community members have already pointed out aspects of it. I took the time to read through the development agreement, and one of the things that struck me is, from a city's perspective, how passive it is. That some of the things that are in our master plan, things that we've asked for, there's no voice of the city actually in it, and it's ascribing anything to the developer, which I find really highly problematic. And I'm glad that Joe mentioned some things, hopefully, where there are ways to get to a yes, hopefully. I wanted to also say I agree with part to disconnect the park from this. This is a very different development area that we've spent lots of time to talk about, 4 acres, and I know from being in the business of design and architecture and theater, that this kind of development pattern will go very badly. And so I really recommend and vote no on this particular agreement and take some of these elements out. They don't have a place in there. Finally, I wanted to say that, I mean, there are two visions of density here that are colliding. One is the developers, they want to make a profit of it. The density needs to be high to that the money can go to investors and other people. And then there's our kind of civic vision of density, where we want the interaction between businesses, between residences, between condos, between all kinds of things that we're trying to pursue and that we need to negotiate. And so I hope that we can vote no to get to a yes eventually. Finally, I wanted to disagree a little bit. I've been to all meetings here since 6 months ago. And on the large picture, the developer has not been very cooperative in listening to the vision. Based on the density, on all of the things, on the architecture, we've gone through this yesterday as well, the developer has not listened to the community vision, because there would be ways to get to a yes, and so I hope we can get there.
I'm Joe Gargiulo, 3110 East Ponce de Leon. I own the property in question here. I bought the first piece of property. This has been an assemblage of 13 pieces, including South City, over 23 years. I bought this property here when no one wanted this property, any of this property here. I fought the annexation because of today. In a level 3 in unincorporated DeKalb County, you can go to 120 units an acre. And this is the reason why I was not for annexation, because I knew the density would be much lower. You've got Trample Crow out of all the literally thousands of developers across the country. They are in the top two, not top 100, not top 40, but the top two residential developer in the country. Developers are, they do the herd mentality. Once one starts going, they all go in a herd. You kill Trample Crow, it will literally be 10 years before you get a dozen developer to even look at this site. They'll say to themselves, if Trample Crow can't do it, well, hell, I damn sure can't do it. They are a respectable developer. They do A-plus developing. The only difference between this here and Walmart, when y'all killed Walmart years ago, is that Walmart eventually opened up, but it was in unincorporated DeKalb County. I believe the city of Avondale lost approximately $280,000 a year in ad valorem tax, and they ended up doing it, but it was in unincorporated DeKalb County. You need people to have businesses. You need businesses, and people will come. But, I mean, you can't have one or the other. You've got to have both. You can't have 100% residential. You can't have 100% commercial. It's a blend. And if the businesses are going to come to Avondale, you've got to have the density. Take a picture 25 years ago, downtown Decatur. Take a picture of Decatur today. Take a picture of Avondale 25 years ago, and take a picture of Avondale today. The Decatur pictures, 180, totally different. The two pictures of Avondale, I can't tell which one was taken. Was that one there taken today and that one there was taken 25 years ago? I can hardly tell the difference. You got literally, and I'm going to say that it's my property, you got a landfill on my property right now. It's a dump. You've got a company that's willing to roll the dice, and that's what they're doing. They are rolling the dice. Spending $65 million on rolling the dice because they don't have no guarantee that they can go to the filing cabinet and here's the guarantee from Jesus saying you will rent all your apartments. No, they don't have no guarantee that they're going to rent the first apartment. But they are willing to roll the dice on $65 million hoping that they will rent apartments. Change is hard. Change is hard. But you've got to change. You can't stifle a child from growing. You can't stifle a city from growing. If you do, it will become stagnant. at the stagnation, it will die.
Eileen Hickey, 70 Dartmouth. And first of all, I really want to thank the board members, especially those who were diligent about the zoning, because that really is what you all are tasked with weighing in on. So we've heard a lot from the citizens and also some from the table, things that are outside of that purview. So I would say thank you and ask that you focus on that when you consider your vote, because when you look at the zoning versus the project, I think as those of you who were more point by point about it found, it really is a more clear no. And then the other thing that that I want to comment on is the 20-year comparison between Avondale and Decatur. That we have had forums here that included city planning officials from Decatur, and they have had a vision in place for 20 to 30 years. Avondale has not had that vision in place. That's what our master plan is now. That's what we're trying to build off of now. So if we throw it away, it really diminishes our future.
I hope I'm not going to repeat. Liz Goodstein, sorry, 3243 Wilshire. I hope I'm not going to repeat too much because so many great things have been said, but I feel very strongly that I wanted to thank the board again. I've been concerned at how much weight, because of the way the process has been managed, has come down on our citizen boards, and I think we can publicly thank the ARB tonight as well. I really appreciate the lucidity and the clarity and the seriousness with which you've gone about thinking about the implications of doing this. Again, we're all in favor of development. What we want is good development and quality development. And I think in terms of the comparison with Decatur, we need to learn from the things that haven't worked out so well in Decatur and think hard about what's going to make us the more desirable destination for the things that we can do in synergy with them. I was away for a good part of the summer, and I said this last night, I'll say it again, I'm dismayed at how little the development has responded with the Kennel Crow ultimately has responded to the concerns of the community about the deepest issues, about density, about the relation to the master plan, about our vision for the quality of life in the downtown. And I totally agree. It would be great to keep you all involved, and I think we need leadership from the BOMC to make sure that the sorts of things are on the table, like condos, like senior housing, like many of the things that are in the master plan, to try and work with you all to develop something that can work there. We certainly don't want to be sending you away. But for us as a community to say that we want to stand by things that hundreds of people for years and years put hours and hours of labor into, that was professionally developed and seriously developed with economic analyses, with design analyses, with everything that went into that, the master plan is just too important for us to give up. And we need to remember that Decatur was guided for a long time by a serious and ongoing and continually revised design process, and we need to be guided by that model, because that's the most successful model we have around for making the downtown that we might actually want to have as our own.
I believe Trammell Crow asked to make a statement afterwards. Did you want to?
I just
just had a couple of comments, and they're a lot of the statements we've heard at the various meetings. You know, this application was filed back on March 3rd. Just want to remind everybody of that timing. And prior to that filing, Trammell Crowe came to some public meetings to discuss the application, the proposal. So this has been a fairly lengthy process from a design perspective. The application, quite frankly, Trammell Crowe started out with no residential. They're a multifamily developer, and they were proposing originally an all multifamily development. And one of the initial comments that we received was, you really need to put some ground floor retail, ground floor commercial along East College. And so they did. And that ground floor commercial, then they looked at widening it down East College and determined with the retail consultant that that really probably wasn't very viable retail use, given the fact that the parking to get to it, you'd have to walk all the way around onto Hillier and then back to the parking deck. So from a feasibility standpoint, I know that that's a desire of the community to have, or at least it's been expressed, to have more retail along East College. But from a functional standpoint, it'll probably be dark. With regard to density, I know I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to state the facts again. South City was on a 3.18-acre tract, and that was before they conveyed the park. I have the development agreement for it. They're approved for 202 units, and so that works out before they dedicate the park. That works out to 63.5 units an acre, which is roughly 9 fewer units an acre than Trammell Crowe is proposing. So it's not a difference of, you know, we're at 72.68 units an acre. So it's not as if South City was at 50 and we're at almost 80. It's significantly closer than that. After the park dedication, South City is at 77 units an acre. So from a pure massing standpoint, as far as their building goes, the building size, it is significantly more for the acres that it occupies. You know, with respect to massing and height, this property is a bigger piece of property. We're just under 4 acres. It's a unique shape because of the way the assemblage has occurred. It doesn't have a lot of frontage on East College, and it has a lot of frontage along the railroad tracks, which, quite frankly, is not particularly desirable for living, which is why the parking deck is placed back there, or for retail, because I don't know who's going to pass by to see it, except for maybe the South City residents going to and from their development. With respect to height, South City's taller. Anywhere you measure it, South City is taller. So when you want to do a comparison, that project was approved. The CBPD district was adopted at the time that the South City project was approved. And so from a comparison perspective, if South City's project was approved, I'm not sure that you can say this one shouldn't be approved for similar metrics. We have done things consistent with the master plan. Again, the streetscape, the road in the rear. Looking at the master plan, South City's project has 2 buildings and a little park in the middle of it. It shows them as mixed-use buildings. I think, again, if you want to compare apples to apples, it's hard to approve one and not approve the other. From a critical moment perspective that was mentioned, again, going back to the time that this was filed, I know that you guys... your home's here and a residence here, and from a timing perspective, you will be around. From Trammell Crowe's perspective, they have a contract. So while I'm sure they would love to continue in negotiations and discussions at a certain point, from a business perspective, they just can't. I don't know if Justin wants to say anything with respect to that, but I think we've gotten to a point where we would love to continue to work with the community, but at this point we've gotten from a business perspective and a metrics perspective, this is the project that they can finance, that they can develop. So, we hope that we can have your support. Again, we're happy to try and make adjustments to the plan. We're happy to talk about things like the road. There may be some things we can do as we continue to move forward, but from a pure massing and density standpoint, there are other factors that go into that, like the metrics of actually being able to develop it. Thank you.
We'll have one more.
I just got a chill. It's hard to say no to a second.
Can you give your name and address?
Pardon?
Name and address.
I'm sorry, Jan Hover, 89 Berkeley Road. It's hard to say no to the second when you've got the first. That's very frightening, because that means that I can see the next lawyer coming up and saying, you've already got 2, it's hard to say no to a third, and it's hard to say no to a fourth. The implication of accepting 2 of these, it's really invidious whether the second one is taller, a little tiny bit taller than the other one. or what the ground is. The point is that if you have one, you can consider it an exception. But if you have two, it's now the ground for any kind of legal action. So you might as well just give up the zoning law in terms of any property owner who would find it lucrative to sell their property and have the same sort of lawyer coming up, not the same sort of approach coming up from a lawyer. That, for me, hearing that was really chilling in terms of the implications for our city. Thank you.
So we'll bring it up here now. There are a couple more comments, I guess, back there. We'll go ahead.
Thanks, Martha, for indulging one more or two more comments. I just want to make a comment, again, David Sachs, 89 Dartmouth, because I am on the ARB and because we approved South City Partners, but we denied the application for this project last night as it is. I just want to respond to the point about approving one versus the other. What we looked at in terms of, and again, ARB is a different process, different section of the code than what you're dealing with. But because the ARB guidelines are somewhat out of date and not that consistent in some ways with the master plan, similar to what you're dealing with, we looked very hard at the master plan for guidance on both of these projects. And in South City, that entire parcel in the conceptual land use plan, which shows suggested massing or heights for buildings throughout the entire downtown, that entire parcel is recommended to be anywhere from 1 to 5 stories. This parcel, for the back approximately 2/3 in the master plan, is identified the same. The front portion is identified as appropriate as 2 stories, or in some parts of the master plan it suggests 3, but mostly it says 2, and that's because it's part of that College Avenue corridor. And so our ARB guidelines are kind of similar. We have flexibility towards the back, towards what's called the warehouse character district, but the corridor is supposed to be lower. And I think that's the largest reason that when you look at the master plan, it doesn't show this parcel developed as one big footprint. And that's not just a happenstance. I believe that's because it's 2 different character districts, front and back. So there is a real difference in terms of the underlying policies, I think, between South City's parcel and this parcel. Thank you.
Hi, Erica Brown, 7 Berkeley Road. I just wanted to say that Mr. Joe, whose last name I'm never going to be able to pronounce, I'm sorry, made a really good point about to have a healthy city. You don't want 100% residential or 100% business. You need a healthy mix. And if this is approved, you've pretty much got 100% residential in the Western Gateway. And as far as this now or never attitude of we've got to accept this development now or it's never going to happen, I assure you if the developer can make money, he will come next week, not a decade from now. About retail not succeeding there, I think that's a function of Trammell Crow's design and how they were placing any retail or service buildings in their apartment complex. But basically, at the end of the day, to achieve, you know, at some point to achieve the master plan, you're going to have to adhere and uphold the master plan. And I would hope that day is today.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the table now. Thank you. Any more comments? Comments from the board here?
Not from me.
No? So are we ready to make a motion for a vote? Did you want to do the roll call?
Yeah, I request that we have a roll call vote on the motion when after it's made.
Someone want to make a motion, please?
I'll make the motion. I don't want to make a negative motion.
I would disapprove it.
You can make your motion.
Well, if I'm making the motion, I move for its disapproval
and
as presented.
Talking about the development agreement.
The development agreement. No. Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, maybe that wasn't a very clear motion.
I didn't like it, boss. Can I withdraw it?
During real estate factors.
I think we need to be clear. Can you make a motion? We'll go over your motions.
Point of order, the motion was made and there's a second. So the cleanest way to do this is to vote that motion down and start from scratch. We vote on the motion, it's there, we vote.
Can you clarify
this motion?
The motion was to disapprove the project.
To not recommend.
To not recommend the project to the BOMC.
To deny.
Yeah, and I don't like the way I said it either, so. Yeah, I'd like to withdraw that motion, John, if you will withdraw your second. And let's start with something better.
Okay.
You love it? Okay. I move we withdraw that motion.
I think you should just clarify your motion.
Is there a second to the withdrawal?
Second.
I'll second the withdrawal. Okay. You've been taking some really good
notes. All in favor of withdrawing the previous motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All in favor, so moved.
Now, would somebody intelligent make the proper motion?
So, could we have a new motion, please? Todd?
No. I'll do it. I move that the Planning and Zoning Board disapprove, I recommend to the Board of American Commissioners to disapprove the planned development agreement for the Trammell Crow development. Is that the right term, planned development agreement? Yep.
Second.
All in favor? Are we doing the roll call?
I'd like to have a roll call.
So how is that done? So, okay, Todd, your vote on that?
I will go with the motion.
You agree?
I agree.
Joe?
Joe Anziano, I agree with the motion to withdraw or to recommend to the BOMC not to approve.
To deny them.
To deny.
Martha Teal and I also agree to deny the motion, to deny the approval of the project.
This is probably a double negative. I'm opposed to the motion to deny. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so that is, he made the motion. So.
I vote to approve the motion.
Okay, so we have a 4-1 vote to deny recommending the project to the Board of Mayor and Commissioner.
No, to recommend to the Board of Mayor and Commissioner, to recommend denial.
To recommend denial.
To the Board of Mayor and Commissioners.
To the Board of Mayor and Commissioners. Do we have any other business, any other public comment? Could I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.